I received a phone call, and I looked up my caller ID, and it was Brother Benjamin Smith. And they lived in the island of Antigua, working there with their parents. Benjamin pretty much grew up on the island as a young lad. And I thought he was calling to seek a place to travel as far as deputation, and I thought, okay, I'm going to have to get my calendar out and get some dates here so we can match it up. And first thing he says is, I'm not calling about deputation. And he began to talk with me about what was on his heart, what was on his mind. And I began to share a few things with him. And at the end of the conversation, he said, well, he says, I guess you've answered enough questions that I know what I need to do. And he said, we're going to be coming to Madison. And I said, okay, when are you coming? We'll be there Monday. I'm like, okay, you're serious about this. But they have been such a blessing. They've taken over altar ministry, but they add such just above that, they add such a dynamic to our congregation. And God is putting... If you hear the cackle, it's his wife, okay? We love that, Victoria, okay? Don't ever change. But they add such a dynamic because God is taking this church. God is setting this church up. I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but God is setting this church up for a revival that I don't think we fully understand what all God is seeking to do. But God is putting all of the pieces of the puzzle together that need to be here. That's why some of you have grown and changed so much over the last 6 months, because God is preparing you. He's preparing us. And Brother Ben and Sister Victoria and young Isaiah are part of that preparation. Brother Ben, welcome to Madison. I know you've been here a while, but this is your first time to preach as a member of Calvary Gospel Church. We love you, brother.
Can we do that for Jesus all over the house? Come on, truly, there's nobody like Jesus. He should be our Savior, our friend, our way maker, our help, our hope, our strength. Amen. It's a little bit different than usual, isn't it? I'm not asking for any money this time. You can relax. Save Our Children did a great job for that. And I believe in giving. It's wonderful to be here. Again, I want to give honor to Bishop and Pastor. And Pastor told it right. It was very much short notice. He got the call August, and by September 1st, we are on a plane in the States. So when God decides to move, be ready to move. And sometimes that can mean moving across countries. But God is such a wonderful God. I'm so thankful to be a part of Calvary and what God is doing here. I thank God for our great leadership and the great leadership team here. I'm going to try and move very quickly tonight, but there is a few preliminaries. If I have a little bit of a weird lisp tonight, I had 4 wisdom teeth removed on Wednesday. But I'm doing great. And here's why prayer matters. I still have feeling in my jaw, at least some feeling. When they did the x-rays for my wisdom teeth, the surgeon told me he was not concerned at all about my top wisdom teeth, but he was concerned about the bottom because the nerve ran directly through the roots. And they were concerned of having permanent nerve damage, which means I would have no feeling in the lower part of my face if they were to damage or rupture, break that nerve. And in the course of that wisdom tooth extraction, he was pulling on the left wisdom tooth, trying to remove it, and as he pulled it out of the socket, it popped back into socket. And he had never saw that happen before. But thankfully, he had one lecture, and thankfully, the church was in prayer that day, and I appreciate all those that were texting me and letting me know they were praying for me, because that particular surgeon had one gentleman lecture when he was going to school that had only ever seen one case like that and mentioned that. So he went down and cut down the side of my gum to realize that the root had actually fused together around the nerve. So if they were to pull out the tooth, they would have completely ruptured that nerve, and I would permanently, without the help of Jesus, have no more feeling left in the lower part of my jaw. But by the grace of God, they took the tooth out in pieces and were able to cut around that root. And now within the next 3 months, I should have full feeling restored to the bottom part of my face. So God is good, and thank you for your prayers. So I do apologize if I slur some of my words. Some words are harder to form without the full use of your lower lip. But God is good, and I'm glad to be standing here tonight. Preliminaries, Lord, about my wife's laugh, I just want to point something out. I appreciate it. I was advised to introduce her as Sister Giggles tonight, but I am so appreciative of a wonderful wife and son that have answered the call. That's really all I can say. I'm a very blessed man, but with that, some of you that have been around Pentecost for a while might have known Brother Cole or might have heard some of his preaching. And I've shared his story a few times. I said I'm just going to share it tonight for everybody so y'all can understand the dynamic behind my wife and why she laughs the way she does. If you've ever heard Brother Cole preach, he was a veteran missionary to Thailand, and they had a lot of struggles on the mission field. And he and his family developed the policy, you can either laugh or cry, and we're going to choose to laugh. And if you would hear him preach, he had one of the best belly laughs you've ever heard. And you couldn't help but laugh when you just heard Brother Cole laugh. Well, I prayed for that. Understand something. God will answer your prayer. But he looked at my seriousness and said, I can do anything. But sometimes it's easier just to do it different ways than how I thought God was going to do it. So God did answer my prayer. I do get to enjoy that great laughter that Brother Cole had, but instead of me getting to have that laughter, he gave me a wife that always laughs like that. So God will answer your prayer. And in case you're wondering the mystery behind it, and I'll give you a disclaimer. Before she received the Holy Ghost, she never laughed. So in case you were thinking she's always been that way, she never would laugh whatsoever before the Holy Ghost. So God can change anybody, and thank God for his joy and his laughter. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about faith and the power of perception. Understand, I believe that God is doing and going to continue to do a greater work than we can ever even imagine here in Dane County and the surrounding areas. But understand, it's going to start with our perception. See, I often preached about this, and then sometimes I realized, you know, got to be careful what you preach about, because sometimes you just may have to live that. And so now I'm much more reserved in what I preach, and I try and pray a lot more about what I preach. But understand, think about the disciples for a minute. Before we get into my text, I want to paint a little word picture with you. Many of these disciples were fishermen. They were veterans of the sea. They spent a lot of time on the water. They knew how to read the wind and the waves. I guarantee you they had been through some pretty severe storms. But then they get in a boat one night. And understand, if you read the story of them getting on the boat the night Peter walked on the water, God just got done feeding the multitude, just got done feeding the 5,000. It said Jesus constrained them to get in the boat and go to the other side. They didn't want to get in the boat that night. But God put them in the boat. That word constrained means he physically took force, whatever means necessary. He said, you're getting in the boat and you're going to the other side. Because they had an appointment with destiny. And sometimes God has to put us in the boat. We may not want to go. Sometimes we got to move 2,500 miles away. And I'm not saying God forced us to come here, understand. But sometimes God's going to do things that are against your conventional wisdom. And they got in the boat and a storm came up. That's not the problem. Most of these guys were veteran fishermen. They knew how to ride out a storm. But someone on the boat, I'm not going to point any fingers. I'm not saying it was a tax collector. I don't know who it was. But somebody on the boat got scared. And he began to say, we're all going to die. How many storms do you think those fishermen had been on? And they were just fine. But suddenly they believe they are going to perish. And Jesus comes walking by them on the water. They're all scared half to death, thinking they're going to die because they picked up the wrong perception. They perceive things that weren't even there to be perceived. God had an appointment. When God put them in the boat, if you read the story, I'm not going to take the time, it said he went in the mountain to pray for them. God had it all under control. But somebody on the boat got scared and started screaming, we're all going to die. And before you know it, the whole boat thinks that's it. Peter gets so crazy, he's ready just to step out. It doesn't matter, God, I'm just going to step out the boat. But it was that kind of determination. It was that kind of tenacity. It was that kind of boldness in the face of all odds that forever reshaped their world. And God is trying to do some things in our life, but it's going to start by reshaping our perception. See, too often we allow the world to influence our perception. And understand, faith is very powerful. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but understand, your perception is one of the greatest things you possess. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. What a promise. Based on what the Christian, what me and you choose to love, will determine what God rewards us with. And here God says, because they have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, there God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. But understand, what we love determines what we receive. See, my family is alive to serve the kingdom of God. If we have time, I'm going to try and get to share some of the stories tonight. But my wife has been on her deathbed multiple times. Our son isn't even supposed to be alive today, and he was on his deathbed. Many of you know I've been on a deathbed. Doctors didn't give me past December of last year to live, and I'm still here by the grace of God. The only reason my family is alive is to serve the kingdom of God. And I owe a debt. See, they're talking about save our children, and Brother Solberg was up here, and I'm not going to call, he was up here so I can call his name. I'm not going to call any other name. I'm one of those debts to people that gave to save our children. I'm a product of this Sunday school. Many of you were my Sunday school teachers. See, you made me what I am. So that's why if you get offended, well, Pastor already taught on that, and you have to go work it out, and I'm sure you'll come to me and do it the Bible way. But I'm a product of my environment. Great men like Bishop and Pastor and Brother Solberg and all those in the Sunday school. You instilled in me as a small child, if I would believe the word, if I would practice the word, if I would be obedient to the word, then God would respond. And so I put that faith in action both in this nation and abroad. And I believe God is fixing to do things that we cannot even yet begin to comprehend. See, I shared this a few times when we were through on deputation, but our church in Antigua is believing God for a 1 billion soul revival before he comes back. But we can't do that alone in Antigua. There's only 70,000 souls. And every time we were on deputation, every church we went to, I tried to share that as many places as I could because we're a body. We're doing this together. And God is able. But at this last, because of the times in January at Pentecostals are of Alexandria POA, they have a minister's meeting, and a prophecy went forth that God is fixing to pour out millions of souls revival in this nation and around the world. But then we have to open our perception. Because in James chapter 1 and 26, switching gears to the tongue, and then I'm going to come back and connect this. In James 1 and 26, it says, or starting in verse 25, sorry. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion and undefiled is to what? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Understand, power in life and death is in the tongue, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And understand, the heart is directly controlled by your perception. See, what you perceive to be real is what your heart will initiate as real. What your heart then initiates as real will come out of your mouth. And that's why all those disciples on the boat that knew they should have been okay let the wrong perception get in their heart, and thus they all thought they were going to die. All the while God was praying for them. Let us not miss the miracle of the moment because our perception is where it shouldn't be. You understand where I'm trying to go? I believe in faith. Faith can move mountains. Every one of us has been given a measure of faith. But if we can learn to shift our perspective and see what God sees, we'll never be the same. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a manner a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Understand, what you speak matters. And what you speak will determine others' perceptions, and others' perceptions will then fill their heart, and what fills their heart will then fill their words. And we can either see this place go up in smoke, or we can have revival based on what we allow to come out of our mouth. What are we speaking? Are we speaking in faith, or is everything against us? Is it always woe is me? I don't want to get too ahead of my... Let me stay on the scripture here for a minute. Verse 9. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and doeth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation of his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." I hope I'm not going too fast for you. I want you to understand, we reap what we sow. And sometimes we don't like what we're reaping, but then my question is, what are we sowing? And what we're sowing is based on what's coming out of our heart, and our heart is shaped by what we perceive our world to be. Do you perceive the world to be at the worst state? Oh, man is full of sin. You know, we got this homosexual agenda and this and that and the other thing. Or is God fixing to have revival? Our miracles getting ready to take place. See, you can determine what you speak, and what you speak will determine what comes to pass in your life. And we can't have bitter water and sweet water flowing out of the same well. You can't have fresh and salt water. You can't have olives and figs. But yet sometimes we try and keep one foot in the... Oh, I believe God. But have you seen what's coming against me? Have you ever been there? Any honest folks in the house? See, there's words we say, I've used them in error. How many have ever said, boy, we had an unbelievable church service? We had an incredible move of God. We just seen, it was just so impossible what God did. You know, all three of those words are negative. If you said you had unbelievable, that means what you did was not believable. If you had unbelievable church, you couldn't believe your church. If you had an incredible service, that means your service was not credible. But yet we go and post it on social media and here, and we had incredible church. Well, I don't know about you. I want credible church. They can keep the incredible out there. I want credible church. But see, power and life and death is in the tongue. And we speak these words and then we reap them and we wonder why things aren't going. Now understand, I'm not trying to be so literal to the law that you trip over every word and every dot of every I. But understand, so many times we just say things off the cuff. And they're shaping our future. They're shaping our destiny. And we don't even realize it. Because why? We live in such a fast-paced world. I'll tell you what, I've had to readjust back to this fast-paced world. Overseas, it's a lot slower and nice. We do what we call Lyman. I like Lyman. Lyman's where you just sit down under a tree. You can teach a little Bible study, talk about God. Just Lyman. I don't think I've had a Lyman day since September. So God just sees fit that I have a few surgeries, done this or that, and here I get my days and my time made up. But understand, what we speak matters. See, we are fixing to have the greatest revival we've ever had. How is it going to happen? I don't know. Frankly, it's not my responsibility to know. What are we all going to do? Guess what? I don't know that either. I leave that up to pastor and bishop. See, why are you trying to reach for something you don't have to worry about? I'll be honest, I don't want to have to worry about how to coordinate all these people for this. I'll let pastor do that. I'll just fill my shoes and do what I got to do. I'll work the altars and greet the guests. It's sitting in my notes, but maybe someone needs to hear this. Just stay in the boat God puts you in. Oh, I know you may be the greatest at whatever you do, but God appointed the people that need to be appointed for the job that needs to be done. I can't do pastor's job better than pastor. I can't do bishop's job better than bishop. I can't do Brother Simmons' job better than Brother Simmons, but I can do my job because that's where God placed me. And I'm going to make sure the job I do is a credible job. It's a believable job. It's a possible job because through Christ all things are possible. See, there's not a lost person in this city that can stay lost if I let Jesus out to be what Jesus wants to be. But understand, we have to loose our preconceived ideas. Where did Jesus go? He got in among the people. See, you're expecting me to preach from up there. And I might mess with the mic a little bit. I apologize. But I'm preaching down. Where did Jesus go? He went to where the needs were at. Understand, I believe that anyone that needs a healing can come to that altar and get healed. But I'm not going to wait for them to figure out that they need to come to that altar. I'm going to find them on the job and I'm going to say, you need prayer? I'm going to pray for you. You need deliverance? I believe that. You need whatever it is, God has what you need. But we can't be afraid to let him out. See, we've let the world keep God in the four walls of the church. That's not how God designed it. But what's happened, we've allowed the preconceived perceptions of our world confine God to something God never intended to be. God designed to be loosed in the highways, in the byways. The reason they had revival in the first century church, they were daily in the temple and from house to house. It wasn't just something on Sunday morning, but every single day they were talking. Hey, Brother Brown, you heard about Jesus? I don't know what he did in your house today, but he healed my body. Hey, Matt, I don't know what he did for you today, but this is what he did for me. They weren't worried about the latest sports games. You got quiet on me right there. You know what? I'll let pastor preach against it. I don't have a problem with sports. I don't follow it. I got more important things. I'm more worried about finding a soul in need. because time is too short. See, understand, I'm not... Hear me, somebody. I got to get this out. Every day is a gift from God. But understand, hear me before you clap. For me, it's not just a gift from God. It's a gift past my expiration date. Doctor said I was set to die by Christmas of last year and I'm still here. So I don't just got a gift. I got a gift past the date. And there's someone out there that needs this. I'm already, I understand. I talked to our altar team about this. How many know somebody at work that's happy? Well, I hope I'm not the only one. Maybe you got at least one. You ever see someone come into your workplace that can at least smile? But they're lost. Did you ever see someone come into your work that can tell a joke? But they're going to hell. I'm not trying to make fun of them or put them down. I work with them every day. And most of them have to talk about medicating their pain because they don't have hope yet. But they're going to, because God didn't put me there for no reason. God didn't put you where He put you for no reason. But I got to let Jesus out. And I challenged our altar team, and I'm challenging you tonight. If people that are lost can have a smile on their face, what right does a church have to ever be upset, sad, discouraged, angry? I got truth. I got life. I got hope. I know what wakes me up in the morning. I know what fills my spirit. I know what gets my feet to dancing. And I can come together with a body of believers of like precious faith. I can worship God. I can lift up the name of God. And we are blessed to live in a country where we can do that openly. We have every right to be happy. But why aren't we? Because we bought a bill of bad goods. Grass is always greener on the other side. Someone got something you don't have. Someone got a promotion at work that you deserved. Someone got recognized behind the pulpit and they didn't call my name. Can we just be real? Come on, guys. We got to get past this perception if we're going to go into the level that God has for this church. We got to let God be God. Understand, God can do anything if you let Him. I can't change your perception. I can influence it. I can help build on it. I can help tear it down. But you control what you perceive and what you let in the heart. And it's based upon what you're built upon. See, that's why I said we're built upon the rock. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Because see, when you're built upon something that's unmovable, no matter what moves around you, you stay firm. In a few minutes, I've been told so many times, me and wife, that we need to write a book of all these miracles. Maybe one day we will if someone wants to sit down and transcribe, because I don't have the time to write them all. But I want to share a few. It doesn't matter what your need is here tonight. God can answer it. But you got to stop looking at the storm. And lift your eyes a little bit higher. Understand, God made all of this, and you don't think He can fix that? It doesn't matter what you need. It's not that I'm heartless or I don't care. You need a job, He got it. You need healing, He got it. You need food, He got it. There's nothing Daddy doesn't have. But all it takes is my heart, my mind getting where it needs to be to let Jesus out of the box. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Understand, folks, I've never had a lot, but I've always had everything I needed. I'm driving a nice car out there. I remember the night Pastor took my keys. And he said, boy, do you trust me with these? Yeah, you know why? Because it's not my car. It's the kingdom's car. Didn't belong to me before I got in. It doesn't now. I just got to pay the bills on it and be a good steward while it's in my possession. But it's for the kingdom, whatever Jesus needs. It gets me to work. It puts food on the table. It brings me to the house of God. Whatever the kingdom needs, it picks people up for church. Whatever the kingdom needs. And I said all that to say this. I bought it when I didn't have a job. Because that's what Jesus said. Now, I'm not telling you to have foolish faith or blind faith. I spent a lot of years on the field developing this, but I've learned how to get the preconceived ideas out of my mind and say, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's not maybe the one I agree with or the one I think, but if that's the one you say we need, you see beyond what I can see. I'm not here to build my kingdom. I'm here to build His kingdom. I don't have enough time left to build my kingdom. Everything I have is a gift from Him. And in case I ever get too arrogant and lifted up, God put two holes in my head so I can always let the pride escape. In case you don't know, I had brain surgery. Two holes through my skull, okay? I understand it doesn't matter what you need. You're short money, God got all the money you ever need. I tell you what, when we first got married, God, we were broke. We made poor people look poor, or rich, sorry. We would take a pack of ramen noodles and split that. That was our meal for the day. And I'm not talking the ones we had to pay overseas, so we had to pay a quarter for ours. And that's all we could afford. And on a good day, we'd get two packs of ramen noodles. We'd get one in the morning, one at night, and that's all we could afford. And we'd split it. But we are thankful. We are thankful for it. And you know why we did it? Oh, sure, we had a little bit more money that we could eat a little bit better. But we saved our money so once every week or once every 2 weeks on the weekend, we'd get one or two of the young people from the church who didn't have that much, and we'd invite them over to the house, and we'd cook a fancy meal. And we'd give them a big portion, and we'd split a portion. And then we'd send them home with the leftovers. And that was our burden, to bless the young people. And then before you know it, I had to pastor them. God knows why I invested them, so I could get a return on my investment. But understand this. We got married, and my wife had been over to Antigua, but she had never been there to live. And I didn't have a house set up yet for a wife, living in faith. So we're getting ready. We're packing our bags, getting two barrels, and that was going to have to contain everything we needed to live overseas. And we go to Walmart. We're pushing a cart down the aisle, and God says, grab this, put it in the cart, and grab that and put it in the cart, and grab this and put it in the cart. And I'm sitting there going, oh God, I know we're buying this stuff on sale, but how am I going to pay for all this? God says, put it in the cart. I already knew my credit card was maxed out. Went up to the register, rang up. God said, give her your credit card. I handed her the credit card. Sure enough, Pastor, it was declined. I knew it was maxed out, but that's what God said to do. I said, ma'am, I don't know why it's not going through, even though I did kind of know. I wasn't 100% convinced at that point that it was maxed out. I was hoping there was enough left, but there wasn't. But I said, can you just hold the stuff? I'll be back tomorrow. I had nowhere to get the money, Pastor. Spoke the word in faith. I'll be back tomorrow to pick up that stuff. Went home, prayed over that credit card, put it in my wallet, called the credit card company. Sure enough, your card's maxed out. Went back the next day. God told me to go back, so I went back, Pastor. And if you've ever been to Walmart, they don't save nothing overnight. But sure enough, our cart was sitting there, had our name on it. I pushed it back up to the register. She pulled up the receipt. I handed her that same credit card that was maxed out, and this time I knew it was maxed out. Approved. And it went through because Jesus paid my credit card bill. But I had to listen and walk in faith. One time we had money in the safe. We had bills coming up, and I put a few hundred dollars in the, I think it was like $300 in the safe, and prayed over it. Came back a few, now I'm not saying this is how it works every time. I'm just telling you some miracles that happened for me. Came back about 2 weeks, a month later, opened up that safe, and my $300 turned into $500. That's what I needed to pay the bill. So I said, all right, Jesus, I'll use it and pay the bill. See, money's not a problem with God. You need food? That's not a problem with God either. Because, see, one of those nights we were feeding one of those and we only had one cup of rice left. And we put it in the pot, prayed over it, and we sat down to eat. We just kept scooping rice out of the pot. We had 5 plates full of rice and a full Cool Whip container left over of rice from 1 cup of rice. It just kept multiplying. It just kept scooping it. It went down a little bit every time, but never all the way. Why? Because he can do it if you let him. Doesn't matter. You have health issues. I already told you, I survived brain surgery. My wife's been on her deathbed 3 times. Our son wasn't supposed to be alive. When me and my wife got married, we said, the doctor said we'd never have kids. And we said, okay, well, in God's time, we'll just adopt. And now, by the grace of God, we have 3, 2 with the Lord, and you obviously know the one that's here. He makes up for all 3 of them. And he's a good kid, and we love him. Keeps us on our toes, that's for sure. Yeah, you, buddy. You. Understand, doesn't matter what you need. My wife had severe health allergies, metal allergies, food allergies. God healed her both times. She had rotator cuff surgery. And she had rotator cuff surgery on both of her shoulders, tore her tendons down from her elbows, or from her shoulder down to her elbow. Her therapist was giving up on her, said, there's nothing really we can do. Your shoulders are seizing up. And, you know, that's just all there is really to it. She came here to this church. First time she was ever in an apostolic church. Came right down here to this altar. Prayed her through. Sister Thomas, right there, waving her hand. Sister Thomas prayed her through. She stayed with my wife for 45 minutes, folks. You know why we're dedicated to the altars? Because someone was dedicated over us. Someone said she won't give up. And she didn't. She stayed there for 45 minutes. And let me tell you how all that works. Some of you remember when Bishop would give the altar call? He'd say, if you want the Holy Ghost, come down over here. You know, if you need healing, come down over here. Over here, I believe it was. And if you just have a general need, come down here. Well, Victoria was sitting there on that third row. She didn't hear, if you want the Holy Ghost, Bishop. She distinctly heard, if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, all the times I've ever heard you give the altar call, I never once hear you say, if you don't have it. You'd always say, if you want it, because you got to want it. But she was sitting there and heard, if you don't have it, come forward. And she's like, well, I can't lie. The Smiths know I don't got the Holy Ghost. And if that's what Bishop's saying, I better. And she came down here that night, and that's why she got the Holy Ghost, after praying for 45 minutes. And she was baptized in that tank of water right there in the back where you can be baptized tonight. But understand, when she came up out of the waters of baptism, we didn't realize this till later on, telling the story. She went back to her therapist after being baptized. Therapist said, I don't know what you did in the week while you were gone, but you don't need me anymore. Instantaneously, God had healed both of her shoulders, full range of motion. Doesn't matter what you have need of, he can do it. We had a lady in Antigua. She needed the Holy Ghost and she needed her thyroid healed. She didn't really want the Holy Ghost too much when we were praying for her, but she wanted her thyroid healed. So we said, well, we'll start there. Before we were done, she was speaking in tongues and went back to the doctor and God healed her thyroid. Doesn't matter what you have need of. But see, we perceive, well, I wonder if God could just. It's not a matter of if God could just, if God will. See, I don't have to convince my daddy to love me. Because while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. And if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my kids, how much more should our Heavenly Father? God already has the gift for you. We just got to get the right perspective. And sometimes God values the storm more than we do. Because he knows it will shape us, it will mold us, it will make us into what he needs and wants us to be. And see, some of you right now are maybe going through some storms because God is trying to get you ready for what he's about to do. He's trying to loose your faith to let him be what he needs to be. See, it doesn't... I wish you'd hear me. See, there's coming a day when we're going to be marching around that Capitol in faith and people are beginning to speak in tongues, receiving the Holy Ghost. See, there's going to be times instead of protests going down East Washington, we can be carrying a baptismal tank, baptizing those off the street that have a need. But you got to loose God and let them out. See, there's coming a day when one tank isn't going to be enough, Pastor. We're going to need a tank inside and a tank outside and a tank in all the daughter works. And we're going to be on rotation saying, hey, this one needs healing. Let's pray for him over here. This one needs baptism. Let's pray for him over there. This one wants the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you something? Hear me. Hear me. And I'm closing. I can't do it by myself. Pastor can't do it by himself. Bishop can't do it by himself. God won't do it by himself because God desires a bride that will work with him. That'll work with him. Doesn't matter what storm you're going through, God has the answer. CIP, like we talked about, we got to trust him. God has your answer. God has your job. God has your house. But you got to trust him. You know what? There's never been a job, and I don't say this arrogantly. There's never been a job I've had to interview for more than once when I listened to God. Notice I say when I listened, okay? Because when I listened to God, he ordered my steps every time. He told me the job I needed. He told me where I needed to be, and he gave me the job. Because God sees every need. And there's no excuse. I'm closing. I promise I'm not going to be like the preacher and say 5 more minutes. But put this in my notes. God wouldn't let me get away from it. We have those door hangers for that touch tice clinic. I'm going to challenge you. Don't let one of those be left back there at the end of this service. And here's why. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through, Ben. And understand, if I call a lot of you by our last names, I want you to understand, I spent 21 years overseas in countries where if I didn't call people by their last names, it was very disrespectful. So those of you that keep trying to get me to call you by your first name, I'll get there eventually. But I spent 21 years working in countries where you better not say that. But understand this. We had the privilege to be in Ohio for, they're called it Celebrate the Name. And we were having a block party for Jesus. Inviting the whole community out, bounce house, food, you know, for the kids and free food and everything. And me and my wife had the privilege, we were friends with a pastor that organized. It was the first one they ever had. And if my memory serves me right, it was a prophecy that went forth by old brother Cleveland Becton. He passed away, never got to see it come to pass. But he prophesied that they were going to have revival in Cleveland. So this brother organized this event. He had the privilege to go and help and serve in the very first one. And I remember we were at one of the churches. There's a lady in a wheelchair. And we were talking about the outreach we did in Antigua. And she felt challenged that she could do something, even in her wheelchair. Understand, she had a very bad bone disease that if she would even stand up, the weight of her body would cause her bones to break, and they're very brittle. But she said, you know what, God, I can do something even in my wheelchair. And from the time of that service till the time we had Celebrate the Name, she took and passed out over 700 door hangers. Understand, if you've ever been in a wheelchair, and I have in my life, it's not easy to get up steps, but she didn't let anything deter her. She said, we're going to have a move of God, and I want my city to know. She went to door, to door, to door. Well, I happened to know what she did, and I just felt so impressed in the spirit that when we were there, I knew God wanted to reward her. Why? Because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You'll never sow anything into the kingdom of God and not be blessed more than you put in. And I knew God wanted to bless that lady. And I went up to her in my carnality, thinking, I'm going to ask her what she wants, Pastor, and she's going to say, get me out of this wheelchair. Pray that God heal me. But I went up to her and I said, sister, I said, God wants to bless you for your labor. What do you want from him? She looked at me with tears coming down her eyes. She didn't say one thing about the wheelchair. She said, can you pray that I speak in tongues again? I said, well, what do you mean, sister? She said, 10 years ago, I spoke in tongues and received the Holy Ghost. I haven't spoken tongues since. 10 years. And you can come here every night or every service and speak in tongues. She went 10 years without speaking in tongues, and she still had enough drive to get 700 door hangers out. And I began to weep and cry. I says, that's easy. That's real easy. I ain't even thinking twice about that, because he died to give you the Holy Ghost. You didn't have to do anything to get the Holy Ghost. See, understand, the Holy Ghost is a gift. Whomsoever will, let them come and drink of the waters of life freely. And we began to pray, and I said, sister, just like God did it for you the first time, I want you to lift up your hands and begin to praise God. And before you know it, he'll give you the words to say, and you'll speak in other tongues as his Spirit gives you the utterance. Sure enough, she lifted up her hands, began to praise God. It wasn't even 30 seconds and the Holy Ghost was flowing. Why? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us before we even knew what love was. And he gave her he let her speak in tongues. And we did that for a while, but I stopped her. I said, sister, he's not done yet. Because, see, that was a gift he already paid for. I said, he wants to get you up out of that wheelchair. And her son was with her that day. And I said, here's how we're going to do it, sister. Here's how my mentor taught me, and here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to grab you by one arm, and your son's going to grab you by the other, and we're going to walk back and forth across this altar. Now, mind you, if she got up out of that wheelchair, her bones were supposed to break. So it took a step of faith, Pastor. She had to trust me. I had to be willing to put my name on the line. Because what if it didn't work? What if it did? See, we're always focused on the negative. What if it doesn't? What if it does? What if your coworker does speak in tongues? What if God does heal that migraine? What if God does heal that headache? What if he does? I'd rather try. What I got to lose, they're already in pain. They'll try the doctors and their medicine. Why not try Jesus? And you'd be surprised, more of them than not will try it. She stood up. We began to take one step. I felt a lot of her weight on my arm. I said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We walked up and down that area. But you know what, Pastor? Every time we said in Jesus' name and took a step, the weight she had right here on that arm got less and less and less and less, till finally we were over in the corner, and it was up near the altar area, and there's a little fire escape. She was in there. It was just the three of us, and people were out there praying, getting the Holy Ghost. And I leaned over and I said, sister, I know you ain't got no pressure on my arm. She did one of these numbers. She tried. Oh, I guarantee you, Peter probably did one of these numbers. It's okay. God's not going to throw you off the boat if you try it a little bit. So she tried it. She realized she was under her own accord. Next thing you know, she didn't need us anymore. Me and her son stepped back, and she just went to dancing for Jesus. I said, that's it, sister. Get your miracle. But fear set in. That perception set back in. She said, I wonder what's going to happen. And I watched her. She walked back over, sat down in that wheelchair again. See, some of y'all think I'm bullheaded. You ain't met my wife. So I ran and I found her. I said, hey, baby, you know that lady? She says, yeah. I said, God got her out of the wheelchair. She says, awesome. I said, but she went and sat back down. My wife, she said, oh, no, she didn't. She didn't even wait for me to tell her where she was, but she just took off listening to the Holy Ghost. Her little Holy Ghost radar going beep, 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 beep. She found that sister and she said, sister, we're coming out of that wheelchair again. This time she didn't get two of us. She grabbed her by the hand and we're going to dance at the altar. And she stood up and danced at that altar again. And I had the privilege to put that wheelchair in the trunk of her car with her permission. Saw her a year later on deputation at the church she was a part of. Saw her come in. Her wheelchair was in front of her this time. Sister, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. She had her purse and everything in her wheelchair. I said, you know, how's it going? I wanted to see if she's still letting God be God. Oh, it's fine. I said, what's with the wheelchair? She says, I just pushed that around to remember where God brought me from. Some of us need to remember where God brought us from. See, I just might be a no account from a foreign country with two holes in my head and four wisdom teeth removed, but I know where he brought me from. And I know where he wants to take me. But he doesn't want to take me alone. He wants me to find somebody and grab him by the hand and say, you know, we can do this together. Doesn't matter who gets the credit. Doesn't matter if Bishop gets the credit for teaching the Bible study. If I could just play a part, if I could just have a role, if I could just wash the man of God's feet. Come on, this altar's open, but there is a move of the Holy Ghost. God wants to change some perspective tonight. God wants you to start looking at your workplace like he sees it. God wants you to start looking at your home like he sees it. He doesn't see a bunch of lost family members. He sees saved family members, born of the water and born of the Spirit. He doesn't see a lost city, but he sees a saved city. He doesn't see a dead church, but he sees an on fire church. Come on, will you let God shift your perspective? Will you shake the world off tonight? Will you let God take control? Will you let God have the victory?
Call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
Come on down.
For I am yours.
Come on down to the front. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God has a miracle for you.
Your grace abounds.
God has a miracle for you.
Deepest waters.
Your sovereign hand
will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never failed and you won't sigh.